All right, good morning. Let's go ahead and get started and start working through our lesson. It's been a busy week. I was out in North Dakota all week at in Bismarck, and so got back and been trying to catch up and get a few things done, but I was out there for the North Dakota State Troopers have a training building out there. And so they allowed us to use it for doing some training for chaplain. So we did the Region 3 for would be state of Minnesota, Iowa, and North and South Dakota. And so there were probably about 60 chaplains who met out there. And we worked this week and took some classes. And so it was interesting. And my family always asked me when I get home, he's like, who did you argue with this time from my other chaplain classes? Chaplain work is interesting. There's a sense of wanting to help people where they are, but then it can go too far, too, in the sense of the ecumenical side of it. Chaplain work will always have an ecumenical side to it. But I am a strong proponent of, I understand that, but I'm not going to change who I am based on what I believe. And so there are those in chaplain work, thankfully only a few, but there are those that do push for that. And so I got in an argument with a Catholic priest from Duluth this week. And so him and I were going back and forth, but it was interesting. So we shook hands as we left, and but we did not agree on some things. So, good opportunity to, as again, just really looking at discipleship, and discipleship is based on what? If I ask you that question, what would you say?
Local church.
I'm sorry? The local church?
The Word of God.
The Word of God?
Becoming like Christ.
Becoming like Christ. Any other thoughts?
Strengthening others.
Okay, strengthening others. Good.
Obedience.
Obedience. All right. And all of those things, what do we find at the core of all those answers? It's really relationships. Okay, it's relationships, and it's our relationship with Christ, our relationship with each other, our relationship with the local church, our relationship with others, and discipleship really is and based on and flows out of those. And so as we strive to build relationships and talk and work through other things, what we've done thus far is we've spent a fair amount of time talking about and describing discipleship, what it is. We talked a little bit about how to do it, not much, but we've really looked at some of the other parts of it. And what we're going to spend this week and next week really talking about more of the how-tos, the practical side of discipleship. I want the next couple weeks to be, you'll notice your handout is only one sheet this week. Someone commented on that. Two purposes. I'm trying to shorten it a little bit. So I'm not fighting the clock, although I assume I will be. That's how it goes. But the other thing, too, is I want it to be, and you'll notice by even some of the things as we start going through today, I want it to be a little more practical in the sense of interacting back and forth. I want you to have the opportunity to think through and even ask questions. If you are going to disciple somebody, what does that look like? How do I do that? And so we're going to talk some more about that even today. As we begin our study, I just told you we're going to try to do some more practical stuff, but the how-to portion is what we're jumping into in our class. We're going to spend the next couple weeks doing this, next 2 to 3 weeks. And then we are going to jump into more of an evangelism focus on that part, okay? So we're going to jump into that as well. As we start today, I want us to think through, if you've got your lesson, there it goes, encouraging, what does it say at the top of your lesson? Yours is, I realized this morning, yours is different than mine. Christian books in discipling, right? Christian books in discipling. Let me ask you a question. Why would you ever use anything other than the Word of God in discipleship?
There's no other method.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. There's no other method.
You can use other materials, but it goes back to you want something that's authoritative. So okay. Back to the authority of the Scripture.
Okay.
Son of man's words or ideas or whatever.
Okay. All right. So he said you can use something that's authoritative. You always, no matter what you use, you always want to tie it back to the Word of God and show. Okay.
One thing might be that, even touching on what Gary just mentioned there, is that if a book points back to the Scriptures, then it's something that's more likely, you know, you want to look more deeply at it, because we don't always think about things from all angles. And so reading something from an outside source shows you a different angle on something that you might not have been aware of. So you have to read it carefully, but it's a different angle that you can read.
Okay. All right. Good. Good answer. Thank you. So as we think about that, even the fact that sometimes you will mention other books that are helpful in the process of discipleship, people will think in their minds that it'll ruffle their feathers right away, if you will, because they'll think in their minds that why would you not just use the Word? Okay, so as we start today, the first thing that I want to make clear is this. The centrality of the Word, capital W, the centrality of the Word of God in discipleship. So we're not going away from the Word. We're not asking you or even encouraging you to do that. Obviously, the centrality of the Word in discipleship, the root and foundation of our ability to disciple, resides in the Word of God. It is the truth of the Word of God that changes lives. It is not my own logic. It is not my own arguments. It is not anybody else's, and it's not yours either. Okay, so I realized that those were the same thing as after I said them. But the point is that it's not you and I. We are what? What do we say in the lessons we are? We are?
Channels.
Channels, yes. Conduits, okay.
Pipes.
Yeah, pipes, yes. Yeah, good. All right, we had one person who listened. So we're channels, we're conduits, we're pipes. That which God is investing and putting into our life through the Word of God, we are putting that into someone else's life. We're used by God in that way. Hopefully we understand the root of our discipling is not our good advice. It is not just us simply listening as a passive counselor. Okay? Some people say, well, sometimes you just need to sit and listen. Well, sometimes that's true, but we're listening for what reason? Is my goal just to hear them out? How much discipleship happens if I just listen?
You want to know where they stand.
Okay, so it's good to listen, right? But then what?
It's your turn.
It's your turn, all right? It's your turn. Yeah, and I don't like the way he says that. It sounds like he's just waiting for that opportunity. But
if you know me,
yes. So what we want to see our friend or our disciplee grow actively, progressively, and consistently into the image of Christ. The goal is that we are interacting back and forth over the Word of God. Yes, I am listening. I need to listen. All right? We emphasize that even, that we need to listen. But we also need to respond and look at truth in response to what we hear. And so All right. A couple of things that I want to point out about this centrality of the Word of God. maybe I don't have that one. So first I would say discipling is not about your good counsel. Discipling is not about your good counsel. Agree or disagree?
Depending on the situation.
Okay. So let me clarify what I mean by that too. Our goal in discipling is not to be the source of counsel for our friends. It's not about my counsel. It's not about what I think. It's not about what I... And so, I would say this. Again and again in this class, we come back to the image of, as Bill said, the pipe or the conduit. Okay? The avenue. We are to be the pipe that pours biblical content and encouragement and application into the lives of those that we are discipling. You do not need to feel that you are or need to be a competent professional counselor before you can meet with someone or disciple someone. Well, that's one of the things we talked about. It's one of the excuses is oftentimes people feel inadequate or they feel like, I don't know enough. What would I ever tell them? In those moments, immediately what happens in our mind when we start talking about discipleship, we start thinking about what I know or don't know. And how am I going to relate to them in the sense of truth? And there is a sense in which we need to know truth, right? We need to be in truth ourselves if we are going to share truth with someone else. But my point is this, that I want us to make sure that we're not thinking in the sense of that it's not about what I know in and of myself. It's actually what the Word of God says. Let me ask you this question. I see you, Joe. Can two new believers who are fairly recently have come to Christ, could those two believers disciple each other?
Only insofar as that as they study Scripture, they might be able to better plumb the depths because there's two viewpoints.
Okay.
As long as it's done scripturally.
Okay. Right.
But it's not going to be as effective as someone who's had time in the Word.
All right. Yeah, admittedly, there's going to be some struggles with that, isn't there? There is. Todd's absolutely right. There's going to be some struggles with that. But if you know nobody else and you know two people, you and another, whoever, you came to know Christ, you don't know any other believers in the area, could you study the Word of God together? You could. Is that a form of discipleship? It is. Okay? You're learning and growing in the process because you're new believers. As Todd says, is there going to be some mistakes? Is there some dangers? Yes, there is. But it could still happen. Joe?
Just two thoughts. See, I always understood discipleship to have a learner and a teacher. So, like John the Baptist said, you know, people came to him and he told them how to change their life, how to live, how to repent, how to walk. And then, but then you were saying, you know, it's not what we know so much, but it is who we are, because Paul says, be as I am. In other words, if we can't emulate what discipleship is, we won't be able to impart it, will we?
Yeah, so what that's a good point. And what I want to separate here is I want us to separate the thought of it's not what I know, okay? I'm not trying to teach you my understanding in one sense. I'm trying to point you to the Word. I want you to see, in other words, I might tell you what I think or this is what I learned, but if I do that without showing you why from God's Word, then all I've done is imparted to you my knowledge, right? My understanding. And so in discipling, if we're having that regular discipling relationship with someone, the goal is to get them into the Word of God. Here's another question for you. I want you to think through it this way. is it possible when I'm done discipling somebody that they would think differently than I do? It should be. Yeah, it should be, right? And so I'm not just trying to impart my, quote-unquote, wisdom or knowledge to you. The goal is that I am... So when I talk about what I know, and Joe, you're absolutely right, we can't separate who we are. And we see that in Scripture all the time, where people are challenged. I mean, Paul does it, and, you know, he challenges people, do as I do. In a sense, in the way that I'm, in what I'm doing, in obedience, walk in obedience as I walk in obedience. He uses himself as an example. And so we ought to be able to do that. We ought to be able to share, and we ought to be able to be an example. And we did talk about that in our lesson. So that's not really what I'm trying to say, in the sense that I want to be clear that there's a line between sharing what God's Word says and pointing people to the truth. And then there are other sides where people get into discipleship studies, and that discipleship study becomes more about, I want you to know what I know. Okay, I want you to know what I know. I want you to understand what I understand. And at the end of the day, we can talk about that, but let's keep the focus, the centrality of what we're doing on the Word. Let the Word drive our conversation. Okay, and looking at that. Trust the Spirit to do the work in their life. Okay? So that's what I wanted to spend some time talking about as we start. We've been reminded that God's Word is important for us as Christian growth. We should see it as important for us as disciplers to pass on that sense of importance. We'll talk about Bible study, and then we'll talk about Scripture memorization some. We've talked about that. But we need to encourage those that we're discipling to get into God's Word. We want them to be in the Word. We want them to study the Word. We want them to be immersed in the Word. And that takes time of being able to do that, helping them walk through that, coaching them in understanding how to do that. What are some practical ways that are helpful? All right? So, I bring that up because I don't want us, when we talk about other books and discipling, I don't want us to get away from that the Word of God is central. It is central. It has to be central, okay, for biblical discipleship. But why use other books in discipling? Why use other books in discipling? Why would we even consider, and I ask you that question, doesn't the Bible contain, this is one of the things that I often hear, doesn't the Bible contain all we need to know for life and godliness? And your answer would be, yes. Yes. We're not changing that. We're not saying that's not true if we use something else. And we'll talk about why. So I would say, yes, the answer is yes. But there are several benefits gained from reading other books by Christian authors. Now, in discipleship, let me just put this point out there. In discipleship, if I use another book, does that mean that I'm not using the Bible? I hope not. Okay? We're not replacing. We're not saying, yeah, you don't need to bring your Bible, just bring that book. We're going to study that book together. Okay? We're using other books to help us in our study of the Word. So we're always studying the Word, but sometimes we can, and sometimes we don't. Sometimes you might just walk through passages together, depending on where that person's at or who they are. So I'm not saying that we have to use other books, but I want to bring up the point of that it is okay to use other books if those books are actually helpful and point us to the Word of God. And so I want to talk about that. First, I would say this. First, it is enormously beneficial for Christians to converse with one another about spiritual things. Nobody would deny that. Okay? I hope you wouldn't. Maybe you don't find it helpful to talk to anybody else. maybe you can't find anybody that would agree with you, or you just always end up arguing. But when you talk to another person about Christian life or doctrine, it can help you to understand God more clearly. I will give this example. I used Pastor Dave and I last week, and I'll use another example of the two of us. Pastor Dave and I learn very differently. Okay, so I will read something or study something out, and then what's really helpful for me is actually is as I talk through things. So I'm a talker. All right, just ask my wife. So I'm a talker. I talk through what I'm thinking, and I'm not always necessarily looking for a response, but as it just helps me to process what's going on up here. And so I'm usually talking about what I'm reading. I'm talking about what I'm studying. I'm talking about this or that. Pastor Dave is not, okay? He doesn't process that way. He can read something and he just processes it and internally, okay? And one is not wrong. One is not necessarily better than the other. But we're very different that way. And so for me, I enjoy that conversation. I enjoy studying something and flushing through that with somebody and talking about it, especially somebody else who wants to study the same thing and work through that together, because it helps me to process my thoughts. It is important for Christians to remember that we do not stand alone in history. Christianity did not begin with us. Okay, let's not forget that. You hear the phrase all the time, we stand on the shoulders of those who have gone before us. Does that mean that they are our authority? No, it doesn't. What does it mean? What are we saying when we hear or say that statement? What does it mean?
Examples to follow.
Okay, examples to follow.
Good or bad?
Good or bad, yep. What else does it mean?
Recognizes they have a certain wisdom that we can glean from.
Okay.
I think of the Constitution. Just think of all the heritage we have. If we had to think through all that, we probably wouldn't come to all the same conclusions.
Yeah. Well, a lot of what we see going on in our country is because we fail to realize those that have gone before us, the battles that have already been fought, the things that have already happened in our country, how our country came to be, how it would God developed it and put it together. We forget our history, and it leads to problems down the road, does it not? Same thing in Christianity. If we forget our history, we forget what God has done historically through time, through other men and women, and how he has used them to fight for the cause of truth. We talked last Sunday night in our beginning of our Bible study about those that gave their lives that you might carry the Bible that you carry. For the English Bible. The Bible in the common language. All right? So we're thinking through and talking about that Christianity doesn't begin with us. It didn't start with me. It's not going to end with me. It'll end when the trumpet sounds and the Lord and all the things, all of the end times play out. It'll end when God decides it's going to end. But for the last over 2,000 years, God has been at work in his people, teaching them and training them to read his word and to understand it. The point is this. There is a wealth of knowledge that God has put together in the wisdom, wealth of knowledge and wisdom in books. Okay? In books. And really, it's we do well to take the time to consider that and to think through that. We would be extremely prideful to think that we can discover for ourselves all the truth from Scripture that the church has been taught throughout history. Of course, even the greatest of Christian authors are not inspired. They're not authoritative like the Bible. They don't replace. The Bible is always our final authority. But we can understand that God has used them in that battle for truth. Okay? Another point. Am I hitting this as I go? Okay, so. You have limited time. Maybe you decide there's a topic you both want to study, but you don't have enough time as a discipler to pull together. This is one of the things that we've brought up through a lot of our study together in discipleship. Okay? There are good tools that God has given us to use to help us to know His Word. There are bad tools out there, so we need to know the difference, but there are good tools that God has given us. There are good people who have written good books, who have studied the Word of God before us. All right, so I want to jump into then this one, and that is how to read a book. And I would encourage you to read a book with a pencil in your hand or some kind of marker. Maybe you're not a guy that can highlight in your books. Somehow have a way to mark. Mark the book up. Mark those thoughts that intrigue you. I do multiple things. Sometimes I'm highlighting in certain books. If I borrow a book, I'm obviously not going to highlight it. But I have sticky tabs that will come off and they don't leave residue on the pages. So I'll stick that down there. And if I want to come back to that thought, I can. And then when I return the book, I can pull those out. I can mark down what I want. You'll find some of my own books have those in them. But the point is this, that work with that book. Mark it up. Use it. That's the point of it. And I would say this as well. Argue with the author. As you're reading that book, you understand that this is not the final authority. This is not God's Word. It's not inspired. It's not wrong for you to argue with it, to flush through it. If you and I are having a conversation about something and we don't disagree, we don't agree on every aspect of that, we're going to argue about that a little bit. And that's not bad. We can flush through that truth together. We can go back and forth looking at passages, looking at text, looking at the Word of God. It doesn't mean we're enemies. It doesn't mean we don't like each other. It doesn't mean we hate each other. But we can do that. We can argue our point, okay? The word argue, oftentimes we hear that. You know, I get used to as a parent saying to my kids, just stop arguing. It's negative, right? And yet arguing is very beneficial at times. Going back and forth, my wife and I say, we're not arguing, we're discussing, okay? And so we're discussing. Sometimes we're just arguing, okay? We're just flushing it out. And it's not bad. It doesn't mean we hate each other. It doesn't mean we don't like each other. But I would encourage you to do this, to argue with the author. And then also, read the book in a couple different ways. First, read that book for yourself. And what I mean by that is when you read that, don't read a book looking for ways that you can help someone else. Have you ever been sitting in a message under the preaching of God's Word and you thought, I wish so-and-so was here? I wish they were hearing this? And you missed the fact that God has something in that for you? That He wants to teach you something through His truth? Okay, it's easy for us to look for how to fix everybody else. Look for that thing that someone else needs. It's hard for us to say, Lord, please teach me. Help me to be humble enough to see what you want and you have for me in this. All right? Regardless of what some of you think, we all need to grow and be taught. Okay? We are not the final authority. We don't have it all figured out. So, I would say first, read it for yourself. Read it for yourself. Look for God to work in your life. And then second, after you read it for yourself, the second thing would be, if it comes up, read the book looking for specific points of conversation for you and your disciple. Because the reality is, if you find yourself, God is using that truth in your life and He's growing you through it, it's probably going to be beneficial to someone else as well. So look for points of conversation that you can have between you and your disciple. And Another thought that I would share with you is this. Don't ask yes or no questions. Don't ask yes or no questions. There are certain people who do not like to talk. Are you one of those? Raise your hand if you're one of those. Okay? Yeah. Yeah. Don't ask yes or no questions because you're trying to get out of them what they think about what you just read, and you ask them a question that they can answer with a yes or no, and what are they going to do? Yes. And that's it. There's no, yes, that's what I think, and this is why I think that. They're just going to give you what they have to answer your question, okay? So ask questions that require some answer to that, okay? Some of you are shaking your head at me. But so don't answer yes or no. Don't ask yes or no questions, okay? Look, also, I would say this. Apply that book to the person's life, their thinking, their heart. That's going to help us think through that. I would also say this to you. Let me back up for just a second. Don't ask, what does the author say? And the reason I would say that, if you have a question and you ask the person you're discipling, what does the author say? What if you just said to them without saying it?
Their authority.
Okay, that they're the authority. All right? So you can talk about what the author says. You can flush through what the author says. But be careful that we're not somehow communicating to our disciplee that what we're reading, that author is the authority, and we can give them the impression of that. And what you'll find is that there's people who have been through that, and they end up making their arguments from or based on what they heard from that person. All right? Men, you were just at a men's conference. Some bunch of you were. Steve Brower, our speaker. Maybe I've told you this, but I'll tell you this. When I left for college in 2000, moved down to Watertown, I was as green could be. I had not been going to church very long. I was not ready for college. I was not prepared for what I was heading into. I just was not. And I got down there, and without realizing it, I found myself, I talk through things, right? And so when someone says something and I don't agree with them, we flush back and forth, okay? We argue. Well, I found myself sitting in Steve Brower's office, who was the youth pastor at the church that I was attending at the time. And I was arguing with him about a translation issue. And I was making my argument, and he's just sitting there smiling. And when I stopped talking, he just kind of let out a little laugh like Steve Brower does, and he turned his head and he looks at me and he goes, "Greg, you're an idiot." Those were his words. And he was absolutely right. My argument, I was being an idiot. Why? Because he knew that I had no support or no authority for my argument other than what I'd heard men say. He knew it, and he was absolutely right. I didn't know. I was arguing based on what I had heard men say. I was arguing based on what they did in the church that I attended for a little while. I was arguing based on the men who stood around after church and had conversations, and I was sitting there as someone who knew nothing, and I was soaking those conversations up. And to me, these were men who knew. Why? Because I assumed that they studied the Word of God, they went to church longer than I did, and I knew nothing, and at least these men knew something, and I was going to learn from them. And I did learn from them. And I became a bigger idiot than I was before. Okay? So I would say this to you a couple ways. Men, be careful of the conversations that you have, or people, not just men. Okay? The older do teach the younger. You do teach. You teach rightly or you teach wrongly, but you are teaching with your life. You are teaching with your words. All right? Don't make our young people bigger idiots than they were before they met you. Okay? And so, as I sat and talked with him, that was his point. And he was right in that. All right? As you read, look to apply to a person's life, their thinking, their heart. As you get to know somebody, look for things that the author says that tie back to the Word of God. He makes a good point about this verse. He makes a good point about this passage. This was really helpful. And you'll find that you'll be able to draw links between the Word of God through the book that you're studying through and what you're hearing from the person you're discipling. I think this would be really helpful to bring up and talk about because they said this or this. And so I want to flush through this truth with them. Okay? Think through what should be in your discussion as you talk with them. As you read, make summary notes about each chapter. All right? And then choosing a book. Did I skip any blanks so far? Okay. I'm kind of going through this a little bit quicker because I want to finish this. There are essentially two kinds of books that you can pick up and read. Either it's doctrinal or devotional. Most books that are written somewhere in between that. And they have both. There are some books, if you pick up, that are just doctrinal books. You're studying doctrine. All right, right now I've got, well, I'm trying to get it restarted. So if you're in here and you have not communicated with me yet, I'm waiting for you to do so. But there's three people that I'm meeting with, and we're going through a systematic theology study. We're using a systematic theology book, and we're flushing through that. And then they're reading that book, and then we're working through notes. And the point is that class is almost all doctrine. There is some application. There is some of the devotional part, but it's not really even devotional. It's really looking at doctrine and then how does this doctrine, what does it mean? How does it apply? How does it flush out? And so as we do that, that class is primarily doctrinal. But then there are other things that you will look through that are sometimes more on the devotional end. And I would say probably most of what we do is somewhere in between on that scale. So, all right. The book you choose for the person you're discipling would depend largely on his or her needs or interests. Young Christians will often benefit greatly from a book that seeks to teach them deeper truths of the Christian faith. Older Christians may need to have truths that they already know and they want to develop them further and to draw those truths out even more. Don't cater to their interest, but take stock also of their need at that point in their life. People often think they know more than they know. That's relatively a true principle. Just listen to conversations. People often think they know more than they know. And that really applies to about everything, okay, in our lives. We think we know more than we know. It's not very often you'll have somebody walk up to you and say, I know nothing about that. I don't know anything. Okay, they usually will have some story about how they learned or how they knew or how they came to understand. And if you are more of an what I would consider like an expert in your field, it's fun listening to people in the sense of you start talking to them, and I'm not talking theology here, talking more practical, hands-on what we do in our field, and they start telling you about why they know everything about what you do and how to do it. It would be like me walking up to Joe and telling Joe how to build a house. I've done some building, but I don't have the knowledge or experience that Joe has. I don't understand, or Todd. There are other guys who have a lot more experience and a lot more building experience than I do. Okay, it doesn't mean that maybe I'm an idiot in the sense that I don't know anything, but I can sure make myself look like an idiot talking to somebody like Joe or Todd and trying to tell them about everything that I know. And they quickly realize that I don't know, okay? So choosing a book, doctrine or devotional, needs and interests, think through the person you're discipling. What are some of their struggles? What keeps coming up? Never choose solely on a title. This is really important. This happens a lot nowadays. People like the title of a book. And you ever grab a book because you were enamored with the title and you start reading it, and you're like, this thing's garbage. Has nothing to do with the title. Okay? We've all probably been there if you've done any amount of reading at all. What are a couple things we can do as we look for books? Pick books by an author, someone you know, someone that you trust, their theology, where they stand on the Word of God. You can pick books by topic, but sometimes you don't know what books are covering what. And so the another thing is just ask. Ask for help. Walk up to somebody, another person in your church, and say, have you read some helpful books on this? I want to learn and study about this. What have you read? What have you studied? What passages have you looked at? What things have been helpful for you to develop those thoughts? Okay? And then I want to talk about, as choosing a book, as you're doing that, be brave. Be brave. So how to get started reading a book with somebody. Sorry, I jumped down the heading. Be brave. For some reason my heading didn't show up. Be brave and look for opportunities. How many of you would be fairly natural for you just to walk up to somebody and say, I'm reading this book. Do you want to read this with me and can we study this together? I want to study it with someone, talk through it. Okay. Probably for most of us, that's not too natural. We're not going to do that. Or we're going to be very selective and careful who we do that with. You'd be mistaken if you think that discipling is only for extroverts. All right? We've made the contention repeatedly that discipling is a requirement for every believer. Now, that's not going to look the same in every believer's life. But it is a responsibility, it is a command to every believer. And I would say this, there we go, right? No wonder I was confused, and you as well. So, be brave and willing to make suggestions. Be frank when you're talking with someone. If you're discipling someone, especially if you're an older believer discipling a younger believer, don't just base what you do on their suggestions. Make recommendations. Be willing to take the leadership of that discipleship relationship and say, here's what I was looking at. I would like us to jump into this or do this. Get to know your disciplee and understand what's going to help. What are some things you can walk through together? So be willing to make suggestions. All right, I have ask for input. That's another thing that I wanted to say. Ask for input. If you don't know and you're going to disciple somebody, like I said earlier, ask for input, okay? All right, I have a couple seconds, believe it or not. And so what I wanted to do, some of you are seeing these books start to float around. Some of you are in the middle of studying these books. So what we're doing, one of the things that we're doing is if you've caught is that we are pushing the personal discipleship more and the discipleship culture. We want to continue to develop that in our ministry and really even through the ministry, outside of the ministry. And so as we're talking about that and you hear the conversations about that, one of the books, this is called Foundations, okay? It has 12 lessons in it and in that 12 lessons, you are going to study salvation, eternal security, confession of sin, baptism and communion, the Word of God, prayer, the local church, temptation, the Holy Spirit, progressive sanctification, stewardship, and evangelism. So that's the first 12 lessons. The second book that goes with that series is The Mind, Biblical Change, A Balanced Walk, The Christian Home, Response to Suffering, Spiritual Gifts, Contentment, Financial Stewardship, Principles of Purity and Worship. So that's the second one. So what we're trying to do is, I'm not saying if you disciple somebody, you have to use this. That's not what we're saying as a church. That's not what we're saying as pastors. But what we're saying is that if you're going to disciple somebody, one of the things that we want to be confident about is that we're discipling people first the right way. That's why we're teaching on discipleship. And secondly, that we're using good material that points and centered on God's word in doing that. We don't want a bunch of people who are want a disciple, which is a good thing, but then if you don't know what to use and you just pick something, you can do more damage than you do good. Okay? And so that's why I keep bringing up ask, talk, you know, let us help you if you need help. So I'm not showing those to you as saying that they're the end in all things. This is what you should do absolutely, confidently, you should do this. But what we're trying to do is we're trying to intentionally and purposely lay out a discipleship path to walk someone through, whether new or mature or more mature, okay, in their relationship with Christ, that you can walk somebody through that and help them, and you can learn and grow together. And then as you do that, the goal would be what? As you disciple somebody, they would eventually do what? Disciple someone else, right? Okay, so you're teaching them, you're helping them, you're encouraging them. And the purpose of that is what you see in Scripture. It's not just that they would sit there filled up with wisdom and knowledge that they've learned from God's Word, but that they would then become that pipe or that conduit as well into someone else's life. And so you keep mentoring who you're discipling, and you keep helping your disciplee just be a discipler to someone else. And you keep building that relationship, and you keep discipling them. So we're encouraging, if you don't have something and you want to learn more about this, come and ask. Talk about it. Love to sit down and walk through it with you and tell you why we chose this. This isn't just haphazard. We've read through that book ourselves. We've looked at it, both Pastor Dave and myself. That's the we that I'm talking about. And we've read through that. He has a copy. I have one. And there are several now that have started using it. And there are some in this room that are in the midst of a study going through that book. And the goal is, and the hope is, that more of you will do that. You don't have to do it with one of us. You can grab someone else in the church and do it with them, okay? And I'm past time, sorry, John. So, but, you know, this is what I want to spend the next couple weeks talking about, or next week at least, is just kind of flushing through this, giving you practical things that will help you. Let's be done.